worship you, our Lord.
Worshipped, worthy to be adored. We magnify you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We come, O God, into your presence with thanksgiving, into your courts with praise, worshiping you in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Lord, for the grace of the revelation of who you are. We, O God, that were once lost, are redeemed by you, sanctified by you, cleansed by you. You indeed are our Savior, and you are our Lord. We humble ourselves before you, and we thank you that this day you're revealing yourself to us as your people and doing a new thing, oh God, you do in our lives. A new thing, O God, you do in the earth. A new thing you are doing. And we are privileged to be part of it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence here. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to see you this wonderful evening in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, worship team. Thank you for leading us in worship tonight. The Feast of Tabernacles is meant to be for 7 days. But just as God is giving instruction about the 7 days and what the people of God are supposed to do, he comments about an 8th day. An 8th day. That wasn't part of the plan. You said 7 days, and now we've finished the 7 days as we did yesterday, and then he says an 8th day. And theologians have wondered greatly, and rabbis have wondered about this 8th day. What is this 8th day about? Is this another holiday, another holy day, separate from Sukkot? Are you supposed to stay under the tent, under the tabernacle, on the 8th day like you have been the last 7? What do we do with this day? Now, I'm not going to assume that I'm the smart one that knows everything. But by the Spirit of God, I will speak to you about the 8th day today. What is this 8th day? What is it meant to mean to you and I? This 8th day that God calls a solemn day. In the book of Leviticus chapter 23, let's look at that. Leviticus 23, verse 34. God speaks to Moses and he says, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord." How many days did he say? 7 days unto the Lord. 35. On the first day shall be an holy convocation, a gathering of the people. Ye shall do no servile work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the 8th day, he said 7 days. Now he says, on the 8th day shall be an holy convocation unto you. An 8th day shall be a holy convocation unto who? Unto you. What's the first verse? What did he say about the 7 days? Shall be unto who? Unto the Lord. 7 days unto the Lord. But the 8th day is going to be about you. It's going to be a day of new beginnings. Hallelujah. This is about you. It's about the Lord, but it's about you. What is the idea? This is God. It's like having family together. Having family together, and you all seated together, you're having dinner together, you're chatting together, you're just having a wonderful time, and it's time to go home, and you say, just stay another day. Come on, stay another day. We've been having so much fun. You can't just pick up and go. Let's have another day together. This is God connecting with his people in a very special way. It shall be an holy convocation unto you. Ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Same thing. You're going to present an offering unto the Lord, and it's going to be by fire. It is a solemn assembly. And ye shall do no servile work therein. You're not going to do any hard work. Don't do any laborious work therein. In other words, rest. Hallelujah. Rest. Somebody say rest. Yeah. There is a rest for the people of God. But you have to receive it by faith. God rested from all his labors. I rest. Now, don't lose this point that I'm about to make to you now. The Bible says for 6 days God worked, and on the 7th day, he rested from all his works. Is that what it says? How did God work? By speaking. By what? Speaking. And every time he spoke, he said it was good. True? If that's how God worked and he rested, God wants us to work, speak the word, and then rest. Amen? Not fret, not worry, not get all wound up. Rest. For we have believed the Lord, therefore we spoke. But having spoken, you need to rest. We are not delivered by our much speaking. Vain reputation is not what God is looking for. That's the activity of mind over matter. Just keep on saying the same thing, same thing, over and over and over and over. No, God wants you to come to a place where you rest. At this place of your rest, you have a revelation of who he is. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The eighth day has a very special name. It's not commonly used today. But the Hebrew name for this eighth day is Shemini Atzeret. And it just means just exactly what it means. Shemini Atzeret. During this day, they prayed for rain. You say, wait a minute. I thought it was a harvest. This is harvest. Why are we praying for rain at harvest time? Seems to be a contradiction. But the idea is this. God, we see the harvest is finished. We are expecting another bumper crop because the rains come to water the seeds that we sow. Glory be to God. We thank you for yesterday, but it's a new day. It's a new beginning. And we're celebrating in advance with thanksgiving your manifold blessings. Father, we give you praise for your faithfulness. Hallelujah. The devil's a liar. He cannot stop the good work that God has begun in our lives. Glory be to God. How does this relate to Joseph again? Well, yesterday we wrapped up with Joseph weeping and Joseph coming out and revealing who he was to his brothers. Remember that? Could it be that this day is a day of revelation? Why do you say that, Pastor? Oh, because John, the 7th chapter, tells us about it. So, remind yourself about Joseph. I may come back to Joseph tonight. But tonight, I want to talk about Jesus, our Lord, celebrating very specifically, noted, the Feast of Tabernacles. And when the Word of God talks about this feast as how Jesus, our Lord, approached it in the very writings here, we'll refresh our memory with Joseph and see what Joseph was doing and seeing how it lines up with what Jesus was doing. The Gospel of John, chapter 7, if you may go there, the verse that I really I am going to comment on, which is the focus of this particular chapter, is verse 37 and 38, but I'm going to start from verse 1. So the Bible says, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. For he will not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. He did not walk in Jewry because the Jews sought to what? Kill him. Now, I seem to remember that there is a person that was thrown out that did not work amongst his brothers because the brothers wanted to kill him. Hello? His name was Joseph. Remember that? Now, the Lord is trying to paint a picture for us. It's not exact word for word the same experience, but you can see how it's all lining up together. So, but hidden in that is this: if you know they want to kill you, hide yourself. If Jesus hid himself, hide yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. He didn't go walking, you know, boldly, you know, in the midst of his enemies, because I am Jesus. No, he says, these guys want to kill me. I'm not going there. I'm going over here. I'm going to stay over here where it's safe. Because you are anointed and you're Son of God doesn't mean you need to jump off the rooftop. Hallelujah. There's something called smarts. Have some God sense. Glory be to God. I'm a man of faith, but that does not mean I need to expose myself to things that will hurt me. I must hide myself. And part of me hiding myself is declaring right with my mouth, this body is not a conducive place for the multiplication or the population or the increase of COVID. Hello? I use my mouth, I declare it, and I rest. Praise the Lord. That does not mean somebody's coughing and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. I say, well, I'm immune. You might find out. Go say, smarts. Glory be to God. We're wise. Amen? We don't do crazy stuff, but we stay under the covering of his presence at all times. Let me go on. Now the Jews' feast of what? Tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. Go. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. If you're doing all these miracles that you say you do, show yourself to the world. Why are they doing that? The Bible is very specific. For neither did his brethren believe in him. What? His brothers did not believe in him, and he's doing all these miracles? And they don't believe it? Yeah, because they were not there. And all they are hearing is stories. Oh, God did this, and oh yeah, this blind man saw you. Yeah, yeah. Come on. Right. Okay. If you've done all these miracles, go to the feast and show. Go back and see what they said. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. In a sense, this is a Feast of Tabernacles, and if you are what you are, go reveal yourself. Are you with me? Reveal yourself. That's the point. Reveal yourself. Say it with me. Reveal yourself. Okay. Now, what does the Lord say? Verse 6. And Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come. The time for me to reveal myself is not what? Yet come. But your time is always ready. Your time is always ready. Your time of what? Your time of being revealed is always what? So therefore, God must not mean for you and I to be hidden. He wants us to be revealed. He says, my assignment and the grace that's upon you is for you to be revealed. The glory that's in you, not hidden, for it to be revealed. For you to be able to do what you are called to do without being stopped. Come on, come on. Are you with me? You're on the same page? That must mean that the giftings of God in my life cannot be hidden. Say with me, Father, I declare in the mighty name of Jesus that this is my time for revelation. You've made it possible. Therefore, giftings of God inside of me be revealed now in the mighty name of Jesus. I command you, be revealed in me and through me for the benefit of mankind in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's go on. The world cannot hate you.
Oh.
But me, it hated. Because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up into the feast. I go not up yet unto this feast. For my time is not yet full come. In other words, my time to be revealed has not fully come. Are you with me so far? Now let's go to Joseph for a quick moment. Here is Joseph. He sees his brothers. He recognizes them. And he goes and weeps, but does not reveal himself. They go home. They have to come back. There's got to be this exchange. Benjamin for Shimon. He gives to them all their food, five more times for Benjamin than the rest of them. They are not jealous, they are not envious, they're not fighting against each other. He puts their money back, and he puts a silver cup. And then he sends somebody to go after them. They find the cup, they bring them back, and you guys are going to jail. No, you guys go home. Benjamin stays. Judah steps in and pleads his case. His heart is about his father. Remember, that's where we stopped last night. And as their heart is focused on the father, and we're going to see that again here in just a moment, Joseph reveals himself to them. He was not planning on doing that yet, but because their heart was about the Father, Now he reveals himself to them. Now it became about them. Got that? So far? Okay. Come with me. Let's go on. Verse 9. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. Stayed in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast. First of all, not openly, but as it were in secret. Just like Joseph was out there over here weeping in secret and coming back with his face all powdered up and like he didn't cry. Just like he was over here eating by himself. Even though he was with them, he was separate from them. You got that so far? So, he says, but as it were in secret. 11. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, he's a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceived the people. Howbeit no man spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now, about the midst of the feast, in the middle of it, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. He's teaching. He's in the temple teaching. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? We don't understand this. How is he so into what this word means? We didn't see him with any of the rabbis. He was not with Gamaliel. He was not with this. How does he know all this stuff? He's not dressed like one of the rabbis. How does this simple man know all this stuff? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine. Watch this. My doctrine is what? Not mine. What does it say? My doctrine is what? Not mine, but his that sent me. Who sent him? His father. His father. So what I'm teaching you is not about me. It's about him. He, Jesus, came to reveal the Father. Hallelujah. He's about the Father. This is the same attitude that those brothers now have come to, and they're about the Father. Judah is about the Father. Praise the Lord. Let's go on a little bit further. If any man will do his will, whose will? The Father's. He shall know of the doctrine whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. In other words, I'm not here about myself. I'm here about the Father. The brothers of Joseph, Judah, and the rest of them have come into that same mindset. We're not here about us anymore. It's about the Father. Let's go on. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own what? Glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, who sent him? The Father. The same is what? True, and no unrighteousness is in him. If you sicken the heartbeat of God, there will be no unrighteousness in you, in me. Let's go further. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go you about to kill me? The people answered and said, thou hast a devil, who goeth about to kill thee? Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work. I have done what? One work. And ye all marvel. Now, we've been reading, we start from verse 1, right? Did you see him doing anything? But he says, I've done one work. Let's go further and see what's going to happen here. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And you on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. 23. And if a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, watch this. That the law of Moses should not be broken. Are ye angry at me because I have made a man every with whole on the Sabbath day? What? You mean all this time that he's talking, a miracle happened? Oh yeah. But this is the point. Come. The point is this, that while I'm talking, miracles are happening. But that's not my emphasis. It's not the miracles, it's about the Father. But the reason you're upset with me is because a miracle just happened. Somebody was made what? Every with whole. Somebody say it again. Every with whole. 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 That means completely healed. When did it happen? During the Feast of Tabernacles. This is the feast where God makes us every with whole. Spirit, soul, body, marriage, finances, relationships, everything. God wants to make everything whole. Hallelujah. Declare this word with me. Father, I am made everywith whole right now during this feast in Jesus' mighty name. Every area of my life is healed. Amen. Let's go further. Judge not according to the appearance. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Now, what does righteous judgment mean here? It means not judging according to the appearance. In essence, judging based on knowing the heart of God concerning a matter. Because the appearance of a thing can be deceptive. Let's go further. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? Huh? Did he say, you guys are trying to kill me? He said that. And they denied it. Now there are some people saying, is this not the guy they're trying to kill? Oh, because he can see everything. He knows what he's talking about. And now they're fessing up. Is this not the guy they're trying to kill? They're seeking to kill him. Let's go on. But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers now know indeed that this is the very Christ? Do the rulers know something that we don't know? That this is the very Christ, this is the Messiah, and that's why they're not killing him? Wow. Howbeit, we know this man whence he is. We know this man whence he is. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. They're talking about where his roots were. Excuse me. They're talking about the fact that Jesus here, they know that he's from Galilee. And they also know that if he's from Galilee, then he's not from Nazareth or from Bethlehem. You're quiet. Jesus of Nazareth. But no Messiah, no Christ is coming from Nazareth. He's supposed to be from Bethlehem. Don't judge according to the appearance. Is that what the Lord Jesus Christ said? Why did he make that statement? It seemed very odd. But this is why he's making this statement. He's ahead. And the idea that God wants you and I to get, come, is this. I am ahead of the game. Before you do it, I know what you're going to do. You guys are trying to kill me. No, we're not. Is this not the guy they're trying to kill? Don't judge after natural appearance. We know this man whence he is. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. We know his roots. But when Christ comes, we don't know his roots. This takes us way back. It takes us way back to a man called Melchizedek. Do you remember him? Nobody knows when he was born. But remember what I shared with you a few weeks back about why Abraham... Are we together? the Word of God is so interwoven and just weaved together that you have to see how it's going. Melchizedek. Nobody knows where he came from, when he was born, where he just came and he was gone. But who is he? He is dealing with Abraham, who is the father of the covenant that you and I are supposed to be connected to. Are you with me so far? So even within the statement they're making some sense, but they are off. Because they're thinking, we know where he came from. No, you don't. You don't. You think you know. Joseph, Mary, his brothers. But this is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Let me leave that alone because I want to get somewhere. Next verse. When they started talking like that, the Bible says, then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, ye both know me. And you know whence I am. And I'm not come of myself. Watch this. But he that what? Sent me. What is his focus again? Father. It's true. Whom ye know not. You don't know him. I know him. Let's go further. But I know him, for I am where? From him, and he hath what? Sent me. Let's look a little bit closer at Joseph once again. Joseph, when he reveals himself to his brothers, is going to make a similar statement. I was sent ahead of you to get you into a place of safety. Our Lord Jesus Christ is doing the same thing. He's going to say the same thing in 7 chapters later. He's going to go ahead and prepare a place that where he is, we will be there also. Hallelujah. Let's go. Now, therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves. Huh? Oh. Thank you so very much. Let me read that. Now, therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did not send what? God did what? Send me before you to what? Preserve life. God sent me ahead of you. So don't get all wound up about yourself. This is not about you. This is about what God wanted to do and accomplish. Hallelujah. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Verse 30. We're coming close to the verse I want you to come with that we're going to wrap up with today. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because what? His hour was not yet come. But they sought to what? Take him. They sought to take him. They wanted to take him. They wanted to arrest him. But no man. What does it say? No man laid hands on him. Why? Because his hour was not yet come. Get this. There is nothing the devil can do or accomplish against you to stop you from fulfilling your destiny. Absolutely nothing. You're going to accomplish what God said you're going to accomplish. And when he wants you out, he will take you out. But not until. Hallelujah. And the word of God tells us something. It says we have to be satisfied with life. Until you are satisfied with life, you cannot go. Glory be to God. But if you have quit and think that nothing is going to get better, then you can go just like that, even before your time. The word of God tells us here, they could not touch him. Even though they wanted to, they could not touch him because it was not his time. And when it was his time, he personally put his life down. The devil could not even touch him. He had to lay his life down. He says, and many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man had done? When did this happen? While he's there. There's too many miracles happening. Why is it happening? Because he wants to reveal himself. He is revealing himself. The Bible says the Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Who was that? The Father. So this is a feast of tabernacles. And the Lord Jesus Christ keeps on talking about the Father. The Father. The Father. In essence, this chapter is a chapter that the Lord talked so much about the Father more than any other chapters. And it's during the feast. Because this is the feast where you come out and you look up into the heavens and you see the stars and you see everything. You see the moon. You see the expanse of things. And you're supposed to be reminded of the fact that the Father cut covenant with a man called Abraham. And when he did it, Abraham was busy sleeping, resting, and he did all the work. And it's happening here. Next verse. Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this, that he said, ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come? 37. See, all this time, this is leading to this particular statement. In fact, this is the core statement in this chapter. Everything has been about the Father. Father, 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 consistently. Now it's going to be about you. How is that? In the last day, Shemini Atzeret, the last day, that, what does he call it? Great day. That great day of the feast, what does Jesus do? He stood and cried. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Who is this about? Who was the previous verse about, and who is this verse about? Huh? It's not a trick question. Is this about the Father? Well, in a sense, we can say it's about Jesus, but the real object of the passage is not even about him. He's saying, if you're thirsty, you come. Come drink. And when you drink, out of you, your belly, shall flow rivers, streams of living water. Because this convocation is about you. Yes, it is about the Father, and I came to talk about the Father. But really, I was sent here to preserve your life. Now it's time for you to start living. God is calling us to come to Him. And tonight, we're going to wrap up on our knees, on our faces, standing, whichever posture you elect to take. If you are thirsty for the Lord, you may do that right where you are. You may do it right here on the stage and talk to the Lord about what you want. Because not only does He now reveal Himself boldly, He wants you to be revealed with a new life from Him. He says, come drink. And when you drink, if you're thirsty, when you come and you drink, you are going to come to a place where you thirst no more. You are thirsty, but now you become a thirst quencher. Are you getting this? You are not just going to dream. You are now going to become a dream interpreter. Somebody listening? Whatever your situation was, let me put it this way. Come. If you're broke, come. If you have financial problems, come to me. Drink of me, and you become a financial advisor and financier providing resources. Wait a minute. I'm the one who was broke. I didn't know how to handle my money. I come to you, and you're going to make me a money manager and a provider? Yeah, God's saying, come, I'm going to reveal myself to you and turn your story around. Hallelujah. I'm going to flip this thing around. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Take me back to Joseph again, just to wrap up. In Genesis. Watch this. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years had the famine been in the land, and yet there are what? 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. Watch this. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Let's go. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And He had made me a father. He had made me a what? He had made me a what? A father to Pharaoh. Remember what we said 2 or 3 days ago? This one that's supposed to be second in command is really the one in command. And Pharaoh was just a figurehead. It made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house. Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Next. Haste ye, go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. Ah! You mean God flipped this? Yes. God is in the flipping business. And he's about to flip things. And it's flipping in your favor. Amen. Hallelujah. It's flipping in my favor. Glory be to God. It's the God that turns things around. And he's still saying, overturn. Overturn. Give me that verse. Overturn. Overturn. See it right here. She's coming as fast as she can. Ezek. Hallelujah. Let me get it myself. Glory be to God. God is overturning things. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Ezekiel 21 and verse 27. I will, read it with me, I will overturn it, and it shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I will give it what? Him. I will give him, give it what? And I will give it him. Huh? What? I will give it him. What on earth is he talking about? Well, look at this. The Lord says that when we pray, when we ask him for something, that he will give it you. Why will God give it you? Because God wants you to become the manifestation of the answer. John 15:16. Then we're going to come. If we thirst, he says, if we come to him, he's going to give us drink, and out of our bellies are going to flow rivers of living water. He says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should what? Remain. That whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it, what? Is the Lord trying to save ink? Paper? space, it's very easy to say he may give it to you. But what does it say? He may give it what? You. God, I'm the one asking for answers. And God says, yes, it's you. Now, see that problem you're asking me to solve for you? I'm going to give it you. What does that mean? That means I am going to so infuse you that you will overpower it. And I'm going to keep on doing that until the enemy, when he sees you, takes off. He's coming again. Oh no, we're not going through that again. Oh no, he's going to beat us up. Oh no. God is about to turn and flip this thing so that you are not the one afraid of the enemy, but the enemy will do what? Flee from you. Do you capish this? Okay. If you want this grace, wherever it is that you want to be, the next few minutes, I just want you to commune with Father. Commune with the Lord. It says, I am thirsty. And I don't want to thirst anymore. But more than not thirst anymore, I want you to use my life to quench thirst wherever I go. Right where you are, if you want to come to the front, you can come to the front. You want to stand, stand. You want to kneel, kneel. Whatever posture you want to take, take that posture. And just talk to the Lord right now. Talk to him. Be candid with him. And on this special day, Shemini Atzeret, this great day in which the Lord himself cried out and said, if you're thirsty, I'm here to quench your thirst. Talk to him. Come to him and express your thirst and your desire for him. And may the God of heaven reveal himself to you in a very special and very unique way. That's what he wants to do. He wants to meet you right now and flip things around. Flip things around. He wants to reveal himself in a new way to you as a son, as a daughter, and turn things around for his glory and for your benefit. This solemn assembly is for you. The previous 7 days, he says, is a convocation unto the Lord. But on this 8th day, he says, it shall be a convocation unto you. God wants in 1 day to start a new beginning. On this 8th day, 8th meaning new beginnings, he wants to start something new with you, with me. He wants to turn this story around. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at Your feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now, for I surrender all. My God, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus, I now surrender. Make me Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel Thy Holy Spirit. Truly know that Thou, Lord, art mine. For I surrender all, Jesus, oh, I surrender all. You, Lord, oh, to Thee, my blessed Savior, I now surrender all. Surrender, oh my God, I surrender all. Give You praise, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we come just the way we are. On this last day of this great feast, Lord, we hear your cry. We hear your invitation. You said, if anyone is thirsty, that one shall come unto you and drink. Lord, we acknowledge that we are thirsty. And we come to drink. We come to drink so that our thirst is quenched. That would have been sufficient. That we drink and our thirst is quenched. And just like you said to the Samaritan woman, if you drink of this drink, this water that I give to you, you have no need to come back here. You thirst no more. Lord, O God, it is not just that we thirst no more. It is not that we, like Joseph, find our comfort place and find our place of honor and elevation and have a name. But Lord, O God, we come not just for ourselves. And your intention is not for us to just come for ourselves. So your word says that those that believe you and will come and drink out of their belly shall flow rivers, rivers, rivers. Not just one river, rivers. We ask, O God, for the manifestation of this testimony. For this testimony brings us, O God, into a permanent state where we are under your covering, the canopy, O God, of your grace that was upon the first man in Eden. For there four rivers flowed from. Lord God, we are asking today that the rivers will flow, that our eyes will see again as we come to these waters, the river of Gihon. As we come, O God, to this place, O Father, let us see the manifestation of your glory. And experience, O God, the great gold, O God, that is in this river. We thank you, Lord, O God, for what you are doing. Let the rivers flow. May we become, O God, a walking Eden of fruitfulness, a place, O God, of new beginnings, of total restoration. Father, our faith is in you. Flipping everything around for our good. For you are yet the God of the turnaround. And as we come, O God, here, we know that you have marked us out as recipients of this seat of honor. And anything and anyone that is trying to take that which belongs to us, thank you, Lord, O God, that you are kicking them off and kicking them out and restoring us. Because in this feast, you are making us every with whole. We give you praise. We give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for the wonderful privilege He's accorded me to share this time with you. First time we ever did fulfill this mandate and did 7 days straight. And the eighth day was last year. This is our second time of doing this. But each time God has a word for us. And I thank God for His word to us. Take hold of it. Run with it. And recognize that God is flipping the tables on the enemy. And that He's making you head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. For he that is sent from above is above all. Amen? Hallelujah. He that is sent from above is what? One more time. He that is sent from above is above all. If you're going to be above only, then you must have been sent from above. What did he send you to do? What did he send you to do? Huh? To be reconciled. Preach the word of reconciliation. Yeah? And that's just for you, right? For you to be reconciled. Or is it about other people? Okay. So this is the bottom line. If you're going to be above all, be wise and share the word of grace with the world. Let out of your belly flow rivers. So you become whatever they need. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's be everything God says we can be. He's promised us, and he will fulfill his promise. That's it. Hallelujah. Amen.